Sable Island, off the coast of Nova Scotia in Canada, is famous for its herd of beautiful wild horses. With their thick coats and long sun-kissed manes, they are the photo opportunity that everyone looks for. But how did horses end up on a tiny sand island 175 kilometres from the mainland? Sarah Medill is from Parks Canada and is an expert on the horses of the Sable Island National Park Reserve.
Well, the best guess for where the horses originated was that they were brought in the mid-1700s by Le Mercier and or Hancock, which were British merchants that were trying to establish a settlement on Sable Island. So they brought over a number of livestock. They brought cattle, sheep, pigs, and horses. But eventually only the horses remained.
And do we know why they did so well at surviving and the others didn't?
One story I've heard is that there is a plant that's toxic to sheep on the island, so the sheep didn't survive because likely of eating this toxic plant. The pigs probably didn't survive the winters here because they're not as well adapted to colder temperatures. The cattle were likely either people came back and removed them or came back and harvested them for meat and for leather. But the horses basically left as they were.
And were the horses brought here because they were hoping for the settlement, or was it because they were being used for things like hauling boats out of the water and stuff like that?
The horses were brought here in the mid-1700s, and the life-saving stations on Sable Island weren't established until 1801. But after the life-saving stations were established, they did use some of the wild ponies on the island to haul those life rafts and to become riding horses. But they also brought over stock from the mainland as well, and sometimes used that stock to breed with the wild population to change the body structure of the horses and to suit their needs.
Would they now be called kind of their own breed, as it were, the special Sable Island breed, or are they just such a big Heinz 57 that they're kind of anything, really?
Well, actually, when you look at their genetic, which has been recently done by the University of Saskatchewan, they do stand apart from some of the other breeds in a genetic point of view.
And so what's the plan for the horses here then? Because they're clearly okay, but is that the long-term plan that they stay?
Yeah, well, Parks Canada is consider the horses a naturalized species on the island, and we'll be treating it like wildlife. So we don't care for them like a domestic horses. They just are basically left to their own management cycles. So.
And what impact do they have on the island?
Well, they are definitely a large-bodied ungulate, so it's hard to mistake their tracks and their droppings that they leave behind. The full impact of their presence on the island isn't really well understood. Some of the exclosure studies will show, yes, there's decreased biomass in the plant vegetation because of their grazing, compared to areas where they can't graze. But the actual demographic of species in areas where they're grazing and ungrazing is pretty similar still, so it's not really changing the community structure of the island. But there is definitely need for further studies, and that's something that we're looking at doing at Parks.
I noticed that the young ones have very, very thick, shaggy coats, and at the moment they're sort of shedding those off as the warm weather comes. Now, horses I know generally get warmer coats in the winter, but these look very, very shaggy. Is that normal, or is that kind of a thing that these horses over time have developed for themselves?
Yeah, well, these horses, definitely those yearlings are very, very shaggy. So as foals making it through their first winter, they put on a really, really thick coat. And that coat over the winter gets a little knotted, and so it doesn't shed out as well as you know, some of the older individuals. I mean, certainly there's evidence that even over the 250 years or so that the horses have been on the island, that there are some things that are being selected for in the population. So quite likely the development of that big, thick coat is not only environmentally driven, but maybe even genetically driven too.
How do the horses survive in a sense of water? Because they're okay, they're surrounded by ocean, but obviously they're not drinking ocean water.
Yeah, on Sable Island there is actually a freshwater lens, right sort of below our feet even. If you dig down and let the water percolate up, it will be fresh water. There are a number of freshwater ponds across the island, but even in areas where the freshwater ponds sort of fade out in the summer or dry up in the summer, the horses are able to dig down and access fresh water. And coincidentally, we usually see horses come down to the ocean at least once a day for a drink, and they're likely getting a lot of minerals and salts from that.
And from your point of view of having studied these horses so closely, what is it that you love about them in particular?
I think, what do I love about them? They're just so, it's great that they're just here and they're existing on their own, And they're not being influenced by people or told what to do or penned up. And it's just amazing to see them live a very their natural life, you know, in their natural social groups and social structures. And it's just wonderful.
That's Sarah Medill from Parks Canada and the Sable Island National Park Reserve. For more information, see the Parks Canada website at pc.gc.ca.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.